Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that
it's all good. We're going shopping today. Welcome to it, shoppers. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Good morning. My name is Johnny Wright. Great to have you aboard. Welcome, shoppers, of which we are all part of that particular category. Thanks for tuning in this morning to 1350 KRNT. It's 8:03 and raining just about everywhere. You happen to be listening to the roar of my own head. We'll get to your weather forecast in just a minute. We'll also get to Kimberly Nasif Westergren. She is the president of Measure Consumer Perspectives, which is a mystery shopping company that is national. They have locations all over the world. They're headquartered out of Louisville, Kentucky. She is an extremely bright woman. You're going to hear her talk in great depth about the art of mystery shopping and some of her particular clients, and then she's got some big ones. Well, she can't actually mention them by name because, you know, mystery is not just about the shoppers but about some of the clients that are helped here. A lot of companies don't want to say, you know, hey, listen, we admit we're fallible. We don't want to bring in someone to help us improve our customer service model. And I tell my clients, you know, I think maybe the other way might be better, being transparent about it. Why not tell people that you're trying to do a better job of serving them? I think people would respond very well to that. But anyway, hey, listen, Kimberly's making lost more last year than I'm going to make in the next 20, so who am I? Also, coming up this morning, you're going to hear the actual testimony from an actual secret shopper who works for my company called the Biosphere of a breakdown of a business in Des Moines. And you're going to hear that testimony in the Q&A as her and I sort of discuss it. Hopefully you find it very interesting. It was one of the early secret shopping trips through this particular store, who shall remain anonymous until we get there. Then I'm going to tell you exactly who it's about. Today's weather forecast, I'm going to tell you exactly what it's about. 100% chance of thunderstorms. And I'm no genius, and I did flunk math. But I'm thinking that the odds of it not raining are relatively small. So if you have any outdoor activities or doing the dam-to-dam run this morning, and those runners probably would like it. I mean, knowing long-distance runner types and people who just like to jog in general, they probably kind of like the cool feeling of the rain. Of course, I'm indoors where it's not raining and I'm not running, so I don't mean to speak for them. 79 will be the high today. We'll see a reduced chance of thunderstorms down to 30% tonight and a low of 57, then a sunny Sunday and a high of 79. That's a beautiful way to end the weekend. Right now, it's rain and 68. And on to last week's Secret Shopper review. And this is all part of the Unsecret Shopper, which is not only a blog post. You know what a blog is? It's just a guy just yakking about different stuff. Also part of the Unsecret Shopper, which is part of the company that I own called the Biosphere, which is a customer service evaluation, secret shopper, and marketing company. Also part of this radio show. And each week, I pick a company at random to secret shop, and then I secret shop them. And then I post that review in a Thursday review. And last Thursday's review was of Best Buy, the Best Buy location at 4100 University Avenue in West Des Moines. Best Buy is a huge company, and they should be because global sales of consumer electronics have already totaled $700 billion to this point in 2010. We love our toys. Big screen TVs, Blu-ray DVD players and the DVDs and iPads and portable navigation systems and laptops and everything electronics. We can't get enough. That's an industry that is that the curve, I don't think it's went downward since 1923 and someone invented the Victrola because somebody had to have that too. Honey, I've just got to have that new 5,000-pound Victrola for our living room. Oh, darling, do you really think we can afford it? Well, it is $1.29, but we can take out a low-interest loan. And there you go, and now you've got a Victrola. And since then, we haven't looked back. Best Buy, which began its humble beginnings in Minnesota, just like Target. But unlike Target, they actually play music at Best Buy. That's a whole other show. Best Buy accounts for 19% of all consumer electronic sales in North America, $50 billion in worldwide revenue in 2010. There are over 1,100 stores worldwide, staffed by over 180,000 employees. This is a playa in the consumer electronics industry. Des Moines area, we have three Best Buys: Southeast 14th, Jordan Creek Mall, and of course 4100 University Avenue, which is where I secret shop. Very interesting, when you go into Best Buy, when you look at the laptops, you'll see marketing vignettes playing. Just little fun little pieces, and one of them, one of the slides says, "Best Buy, buyer be happy." I thought that was really clever. It really plays into, of course, it's a takeoff of buyer beware, taking it the other way. It plays into what we talk about a lot on this show, and I talk about in training, and everyone talks about in customer service, and that is that the happiness of the customer is number one. It's paramount. That's the focus of all of this. And with consumer electronics in particular, that can be a real challenge. Why is that? Well, we love the act, I believe, of buying the stuff. We love the thought of what it can do, but it is confounding and can be particularly upsetting because, let's face it, we don't know how this stuff works most of the time. What do we use? We use 20% of the features on average of any iPhone, iPad, BlackBerry, anything. Yeah, it is being underutilized when it's in our possession. And that's because we just don't find out past the rudimentary initial operating phase and some of the features. Well, we don't go any deeper than that. So shopping for this kind of equipment can be sort of difficult for consumers. We're going in there blind. We don't necessarily know a lot. Well, we probably know a lot more now than we did 10, 20 years ago because of the internet. We read up on it more. And so the experience you would want when you go into a Best Buy type store is, I would think, you would want employees who are engaging, ingratiating, right-brainers, creative, soft, warm, fuzzy, reach out and help you. Stand forward, step forward, and greet you and engage you. I would think you would want that. Of course, we want that in all of our retail locales, all of our categories. So I went to Best Buy on a Tuesday, and I secret shopped it twice in the same day. One time going in dressed in a tie, and the next time going in sort of dressed down, very cash. That made no difference, and typically doesn't make a lot of difference, but I want to go in twice to any store to give us a little better sense of how the staff is doing. Overall, first trip in the morning was pretty good. Alex greeted me in laptops and sort of took off when I asked him about laptops, sort of went into a rapid-fire explanation of what a particular laptop, the features it had. You know, this Gateway has an AMD Turion 2 dual-core mobile processor, 4 gig DDR2 memory, you know, and he's off. Alex is a young man. He knows a lot about laptops. I know nothing, basically. And so Alex sort of is in his world and not in mine. And, of course, he needs to plug into my world. He needs to use – I talk about in the blog using analogies, metaphors. If a particular laptop has a feature that makes it faster, how much faster? It's a difference between beating an egg with a fork to make a cake and using a dual blender to get the thing done because grandma's coming over and you got to put 900 candles in the thing and you got to get her done. Use analogies. Clock into people's experience, check into it, plug into it, and go into their world and help explain features. That is the case throughout that store. So we know how a refrigerator works in general. You open the door, you let the cold air out, you drink out of the milk jug, you put it back, you stand there and stare at other things that you probably won't eat, and then you close the door 5 minutes later, and you get yelled at because you're running up the electric bill. That's how a fridge works. Some of the other stuff, the iPads, the other stuff, yeah, it's complicated, complex stuff. One of the things that Alex, I don't want to pick on Alex, but one of the things that Alex also did that I think is informative and a teachable moment is he was talking about Gateway, and he said, their customer service is a little shaky. I don't exactly trust them. And there's nothing wrong with Alex's opinion of Gateway's customer service, but the problem as consumers is we start to think then why are you selling a computer via a company in which the customer service is, quote-unquote, shady? And what else are you selling that I should avoid? It just basically says to employees, you never talk smack about the stuff you sell. Makes sense. You're selling it, therefore it must be great, right? A different way to position that is that, you know, this Gateway is good, but let me show you this Dell that's absolutely fantastic that blows the doors off that Gateway. Oh, I get that. Okay, that's cool. I can plug into that. As I worked my way through the store during that first trip, there were other moments where I was engaged or engaged other employees as I walked through. And it was predominantly closed-ended questions, and we've talked a lot about that on this show. What is a closed-ended question? It is a question that says, can I help you? It demands a yes or a no answer. That's a closed-ended question. It's sort of the end of thought to me. It's the end of the engagement. Whereas a question, what can I help you with? What can I help you find? How can I help you today? Is an open-ended question, and it is a broader question, and it opens up all the possibilities for the customer, what they want and what they need and what they're looking for. And only twice throughout both trips through Best Buy was I ever asked an open-ended question. And so that's a trainable thing. That's a trainable thing with the employees and the staff. Mike in big screen TVs was particularly helpful, did a wonderful job of explaining features on those big babies and then giving me some time to ruminate and think about it. And while he told me features, he also asked me questions. That's the sign of someone who's listening. Again, unteachable moment. Anyone working in any position of selling equipment, when the consumer comes in, customer says, I'm looking for A, B, C, and D. The employee says, all right, I've got A, B, and C. I'm going to show you. Now, when it comes to B, are you looking for this or this? Oh, I'm looking for that. Oh, okay, well, let me show you that particular thing. Are you using it because of this? So ask the extra question. Again, that's another thing we teach in training with the Biosphere and my clients. The beginning and the end of that first experience through Best Buy was as it is designed to be, with the greeter. There is a greeter in Best Buy, much like Walmart, but they're actually not at all alike. But there was a person positioned, as you know, if you've went to Best Buy through the sliding glass doors, who I believe is designed to, the person is there designed to say hello, goodbye, thank you, as well as check your stuff as you walk out. I want to make sure that the receipt matches the stuff in the bag. That happens not all the time. The people who were working that part of it at Best Buy both times sort of missed me as I came in and went out and exited. So again, head on a swivel. We're not perfect. No one's perfect. We're not infallible. These are people we're talking about, young people. And so you just have to try to catch everybody, if that is, again, your responsibility, is to greet. Second time through, not as good as the first. Second time through in the late afternoon, early evening, had some real issues. Had very few people who actually engaged me at all. I did most of the engagement. And the philosophy when I go into a store to secret shop it for a Thursday profile is that when I see an employee, I'm going to walk toward them. I'm not going to avoid them. I'm going to walk toward them. I want to give them the opportunity to engage me. The only exceptions to that are when I go into a particular section of a store. For example, on the second trip into Best Buy, I went to the big screen TVs again, that section. I believe it's called Home Entertainment. And I browsed the televisions, assuming someone would come over and wait on me. And after 15 minutes, no one had. And I thought, well, you know, that's unusual. That would seem to be an area of the store, of that particular store, where you would get help pretty quickly with the high-end cost of everything. And that never happened. And so when I went back over to the front of that section, I saw two employees, Don and Mirza, talking to each other, sort of by the cash register area. And that's a no-no. That's, you know, you've got to engage customers. It's sort of one of our fears. And I'm told all the time by employees, well, it, you know, when customers want to know something, they'll go find you. They'll come to you. They'll come to you and they'll come find an employee if they have a question. They shouldn't have to. They shouldn't have to go seek it out. If the retail store and the setting is set up properly, those employees should be coming to the customer and engaging them without having to be come and found out. There are exceptions to that, but the rule generally, and it makes sense, is to serve the customer, find them, engage them. And so that happened in big screen TVs. There were other elements that were sort of disturbing. There was an employee at Best Buy who was there but out of uniform and off the clock, who was just sort of hanging out, sitting on a shelf, while other employees who were on the clock were sort of gathered around her and engaging her. And again, bad form. That can't happen. Should not happen. That employee needs to be somewhere else other than the store. And then at the end of the particular experience, both times I went into the customer service department at Best Buy, and beside that is what is known as the Geek Squad, where they do the computer repair stuff. Both times I went into that section, and the first time in, Kim did a wonderful job of engaging, asked an open-ended question, what can I help you with? Fantastic, big smile, awesome. Second trip into that section, the Geek Squad, a gentleman by the name of Agent Hildreth greeted again. Nice open-ended question, what can I help you with? From that point on, the conversation really degraded. And this is as informative because I received an email response to this particular, actually the entire review, and I think it's informative. My understanding, talking to Agent Hildreth in the Geek Squad at Best Buy, is that the philosophy of Best Buy is that the members of the Geek Squad, other than managers, are only allowed to give out their last name. And so they know themselves or refer to themselves as Agent Wright, Agent Hildreth, Agent whomever. And I had a conversation with Agent Hildreth about this, and I was asking him his first name because I wanted to talk to him on a first-name basis as a human being, as an adult, as a person who has computer issues and is looking for them to be solved by a human being. And Agent Hildreth simply refused to engage me with his first name, and it became antagonistic, and there's some issues with that whole experience. At some point, the employee needs to say, you know what, my name is Ralph. Call me Ralph. Even if your name isn't Ralph, give me something to call you on a first-name basis. That's connective. It's more informal. It's more personable. Makes sense. That's how we get to know people, by their first name. Also, an interesting point is that the Geek Squad wears white. They wear white shirts with black ties. And I started to think about this, and if it's true that all of the Geek Squad members, other than the managers, go by the term of Agent Hildreth or Agent whoever their last name is, it kind of bears a similarity to Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, stay with me, who also wear white shirts and black ties and use the handle Brother Hildreth or Brother Wright, or maybe they use first names. I don't know, but they do the same sort of thing in the Jehovah's Witness religion. And they do it, my understanding is, because they, through the Bible, they connect as brothers and sisters. And they use that term for that reason. So why does Best Buy do it? Let me quickly read some of the response I got from someone who claims to know Agent Hildreth and some of the people at Best Buy. Who are you, Johnny? Some middle-aged guy that works for an unknown local AM radio station and blogs to his 5 to 200 area devotees. Yet you claim to be some sort of trainer in customer service and are a professional when it comes to these area shops. Seriously, who do you train? What companies elicit your expertise? For instance, Agent Hildreth. You didn't mention in your blog that you called him a liar for not having a business card, which I did not. Agent Hildreth doesn't have a business card because, as he explained to me, the people that are not managers in that department don't have business cards. That is a mistake to me. That is an opportunity to, again, reach out, engage, personalize, humanize with information. I continue on reading. I know this guy personally and only caught wind of your unknown blog via him. He didn't have biz cards. You were very antagonistic with him because you were a jerk, because you felt he had to give you his full name. You felt you were entitled to his full name. I felt I was entitled to his first name. I don't care about your last name. I want your first name so I can engage you. I'm Johnny, you're who? On a first name basis, that's why that term means something. This is a guy who had clients look his name up in a phone book in the past and have had them call him at home. He's not comfortable with giving out his full name. All right, so here's the issue. It appears, at least according to this writer, with Agent Hildreth, is that Agent Hildreth has had problems in the past. Someone has stalked him, something has happened. That I get. Been there, done that, have action figures. That I understand. But let me just tell you something. If you're really concerned about your security, sharing your last name is the last thing you want to do. Because I can find out more about someone with their last name than I can ever find out with just their first name. Stop and think about it. And maybe go by Agent Ralph. Or how about just Ralph? I don't know. Call me crazy. Kimberly Nasif Westergren will call me crazy coming up. She is the president of Measure Consumer Perspectives It is a mystery shopping company that is national. They have locations all over the world. And she is going to talk about insider look at the mystery of mystery shopping. Fascinating woman. You'll love the interview coming up. That is in just a minute or two from now. You are tuned in to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Good morning. It is 823 at 1350 KRNT.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
No matter where you're shopping or visiting or spending your hard-earned jackola today, welcome. Shoppers to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. 8:25 now with Johnny Rain. And 58 right now, high today 79. The rain should end as we get later into the day. And tomorrow's a beauty with sunshine and 79. Speaking of shopping, no matter where you shop, have you ever thought that about being a mystery shopper, secret shopper? Have you ever thought that maybe you're doing your own shopping when you're right beside someone who may be doing some secret shopping? Well, as I tell all of my clients, all employees, every one of us is a secret shopper. It's just that we secret shop with our wallets. And then I get a few snickers, and then they go back to not listening to me. But anyway, someone who is listened to and very intently is Kimberly Nasif-Westergren. She is the president of Measure Consumer Perspectives. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Kimberly.
How are you? Good morning.
I am wonderful. Listen, we're secret shoppers. We're always in a good mood, aren't we?
That's right. That is right.
Although you refer to it, and I know that this is a majority, as mystery shopping. Is there a difference between, in your mind, between mystery shopping and secret shopping?
No, there really isn't, other than just semantics. M comes before S in the alphabet.
I got you. See, that is smart thinking. That is some seriously smart thinking. How did you get involved? And before I ask you that, actually, let's go back to when you were a kid. Did you shop a lot? Were you uber critical, or were your parents that way?
I didn't really shop a lot as much as I was just fascinated by people watching, and sort of that sort of came out in an academic standpoint when I went to college, and had a very strong focus in anthropology, which is, you know, it's people watching. And to this day, I feel like I'm using that anthropology background to my advantage.
Well, you know, Karen, when you said watching people in anthropology, I'm thinking of really like dead people at a bad mall. You know, I'm thinking of like deceased people practically.
Right. Well, you can study deceased people, or you can study people in other countries, or you can study people inside of retail environments. And that's sort of the direction that I decided to go because, you know, you can only make so much money when you're studying dead people or people other places.
That's so true. Well, you obviously chose the right road. And how? Tell me about the concept of Measure Consumer Perspectives. How did you come to that? How was that created?
I had been in advertising and saw how much businesses spent on advertising and realized that they spent an exorbitant amount on advertising and yet would always come back to us and say, well, we don't know if our advertising is working. And our response would always be, well, are your employees tracking it? In other words, are they asking customers who come through the door, how did you hear about us? And to the next step, are your employees actually delivering what you're saying your value proposition is in your advertisements? So in other words, you're saying that you're the best and you're the fastest and you have the hottest wings and you have the smartest employees and we'll solve your problems quickly. Are they actually delivering on those value propositions once someone walks through the door? And if they're not, then it doesn't matter how much you're advertising with my company or how much you're spending on your advertising, because the advertisements will only bring people through your doors. Your employees are the ones who are going to bring your customers back. And so after being in advertising, I realized there's a tremendous void in what customers are or what businesses are advertising and what's actually happening in the stores, and that needs to be measured.
And you know, being in the advertising business, Kimberly, that when a business is not generating revenue like it expects it to via their marketing, their marketing's the first thing to go.
Right. And it's interesting to me because I have actually seen, you know, I've seen businesses cut their marketing dollars so much during, you know, this economic time, but they're still spending as much, if not more, on customer retention. And that's simply because it's far more cost-effective and affordable to keep your current customers by making sure that they're happy and your employees are doing a good job than it is to recruit new ones. It's six to seven times more expensive to recruit a new customer than it is to keep your own. So they're spending money on marketing to their own customer base by spending money on training and mystery shopping programs and things like that.
And that always made the most sense, is like, start inside your own four walls, live up to the promise of whatever marketing and the expectation is. And so many businesses, though, so many owners don't do that. Why is that?
You know, I think that in many cases, business owners have a different set of expectations as well as perception of what's happening on the ground floor. They've created the business, or they oversee the business, and they're passionately involved in the business, and they believe that everyone who's involved in the business is just as passionately involved as they are. And in many cases, they fail to realize that there is that discrepancy between what they perceive as being the business and what is actually happening. And it's not that the people on the ground floor in the company are necessarily less passionate, although they may be, but they may be getting conflicting stories. In other words, operations may have an agenda for them, and HR may have an agenda, and marketing may have an agenda, and none of these different departments are speaking to each other. They're just passing that agenda down to the ground floor, and these employees are trying to live up to all these expectations, which in some cases may actually be conflicting to one another. And when they're trying to live between all of these things, in many cases, it's just far easier to just not do anything than to try to adhere to multiple bosses, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And you really hit upon something that is so powerful, that business owners, when they start a business, they have all that passion and that belief in this thing. And it's usually not about the money. It's about this idea. And then they start hiring people around them, and they think they're hiring clones when they're hiring faded copies of themselves.
Right. And I think it's important that, you know, just from an entrepreneurial standpoint, my philosophy is you hire people who are better than you mm-hmm. at different things, and you let them run with it, and try not to micromanage, even though I think all of us as business owners sometimes do that. And obviously, as a business gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it becomes more and more difficult to keep your finger on the pulse of every single employee, but you have to, you know, hire people for their strengths and give them, I think the most successful businesses out there are the ones that give their employees some sense of empowerment to make decisions on their own as opposed to following the company policy. And I think that many customers these days feel so frustrated. You know, you call to try to get a resolution, and the person on the phone says, well, we can't do that. That's the company policy.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Kimberly Nasif-Westergren. She is the president of Measure Consumer Perspectives in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, with offices also in Houston and London. Now, I have to ask you, who gets mystery shopped in London? Would it be anybody that we would know if you told us, or can you tell us the name of the companies that you mystery shop?
Well, you know, we've got. How about I give you industries?
Yes, that would be fine, Kimberly. Yes.
We, you know, I think that we live in a global economy, and so you've got companies that started out here in the United States. I think that you can probably think of a few companies that are based and headquartered out of Kentucky. Let's say maybe in the fast casual industry that have fast food restaurants all over the world. And so you might be mystery shopping a fast casual or a drive-through restaurant. We also work with some casual dining restaurants that have expanded their operations both from the United States to overseas. Pizza delivery, multifamily apartments. Apartments is a very, very fast-growing industry. Actually, if you think about it, the apartment industry just alone in the United States houses 37% of the American population. So that's a pretty remarkable number when you think about it. So apartment mystery shopping is a very big segment.
Mm-hmm.
Senior living is a very fast-growing segment, and there are plenty of senior living companies who are expanding their operations overseas. And I liken that to, you know, apartments for seniors. And in fact, if you've ever gone into a senior living facility, you know, I've been half tempted to sell my house and move into one because they do everything for you. They, you know, they clean, they've got great food, they've got exercise facilities, they've got people who are there to take care of you. I mean, what else could you want? It's like going back to college again.
That's right. I can hardly wait to hit 65 and retire. That's right.
Well, you'd be young there because the average age of most residents in a senior housing facility is somewhere between 79 and 84.
Wow. I got to wait. Both of us have a ways to go. Yes.
That's right.
Well, Kimberly, let's talk about when someone, let me pick an industry. Let's say it's Johnny's Fish and Chips is there in London. All right. Mm-hmm. And I've hired your company, Measure Consumer Perspectives, to come on in and do some mystery shopping of my employees. Talk about how that process works.
Okay. I can talk about it from a domestic and international standpoint. I think that, the first things you want to do is sit down with the client and extrapolate what are your needs, what are you looking for, what are the things that you want to accomplish. And that's the most important thing that you want to answer, because you can go in and create a questionnaire for a client, but if it doesn't measure those things that they spend their time and efforts training on and marketing, then you're just answering questions that don't really have any point of resolution to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with that and you create the questionnaire. Obviously that questionnaire gets uploaded into our database. And then we have shoppers who apply to work with us from all over the world. And depending on the client's needs, let's say Johnny's Fish and Chips wants to make sure that the shoppers going into their location are actually qualified. So we can create a test so that a shopper who goes into Johnny's Fish and Chips has to pass a specific test first. Now, what I tell my clients is, any shopping company can proclaim to test shoppers before they go in to make sure they're qualified. But if you're not paying shoppers a decent wage, it doesn't matter how many shoppers pass, they won't do the shop, even if they have passed the test, if they're not going to make a decent wage at it.
Sure, sure.
So then you create the test, if the client so desires, and then you actually send out a notification to shoppers who are within a 5, 10, 15, 20-mile radius of that specific location. Shoppers have the choice of applying for a shop or ignoring it. Our team then hand selects the shoppers, and the shoppers are given, once they're accepted, are given a set of instructions. They read through the instructions. They then go on the assignment, and they evaluate things like wait times in the drive-thru, wait times inside, cleanliness of the restroom, cleanliness of the parking lot, dumpsters being closed, friendliness of the staff and the windows and the counter. And, the food temperature, the delivery speed, the order correctness, and the time it took for the product to be delivered to you. And those would be sort of the basic things that a mystery shopper would evaluate. But conversely, we can also send somebody into the fish and chips restaurant, and rather than looking at customer service at all, they may be paying specific attention to the signage. So they may make sure that the milkshake of the month is actually correct. So let's say that this fish and chips place, their March promotion or their June promotion is the chocolate milkshake with peanut butter. And if you go in 3 days after the month starts and the promotion is up for the previous month's specials, then you've lost 3 days of advertising time.
Sure.
And they might also evaluate, aside from signage and POP materials, which is point of purchase, they may also evaluate things along the lines of it'd be an overt audit. They may go back into the kitchen and say, I'm here on behalf of X company, and I need to check these things off the list to make sure that they're actually happening. Are the HR manuals correct? Are the temperatures posted? Are the hand washing signs up?
So
I kind of look at mystery shoppers as not just being shoppers, but they're an army of useful information, or that they're an army that possess all this useful information, and they can be deployed to do shops and audits and surveys and interviews and just investigation in general.
Well, and obviously these cannot be dumb people. You're not going to hire a bunch of knuckle draggers to do this. These people really have a lot of snap.
Yes, and you can eliminate some of the people who don't have that snap, because just like any industry, ours is full of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Sure.
And, I think that some of the initial application processes can help eliminate people who aren't serious just by simply asking for, give us a paragraph of your best shopping experience. Well, someone who has that snap can detail what makes something good or bad and not just say that it was good or bad. They also have correct grammatical. They have the ability to use grammar correctly. They have they make sure that their spell check is working, that they have spelled things correctly. And, that's one of the things that we kind of weed through whenever we assign shops, is we can look and see a shopper's prior history with us. Do they have, a 10 or a 9 or an 8? what's in their shop log as far as past records and past issues that we may have had. We can also make sure that they've been certified by our trade organization, which is the MSPA. You know, we've seen great shoppers who aren't certified at all, and we've seen certified shoppers crash and burn. So, you know, the way that we look at it is every shopper sort of has a unique opportunity every time an assignment is launched, because we will ask a specific question. And that question may be, you know, why do you feel like you're qualified for the shop? And the shopper has the chance right then and there to sort of let their color shine. They write in all caps, or are their words misspelled, or do they give you a very cognizant answer about why they'd be good for that assignment? Or sometimes we'd like to throw a wrench into things and say, okay, what are your thoughts on llamas versus alpacas? And it gets the shopper to think, but they'll craft a response, and you can kind of tell by that whether or not that necessarily they've given a lot of thought to it, but what's their sentence structure like? How do they write? And, you know, you'll see people who aren't necessarily the best spellers, but are great at detail, and people who are great at, you know, who have perfect grammar, but are just not very good at detail. So every time we grade a shopper, every time a shopper completes an assignment, we give them a grade so that moving forward, they know what they've done right or wrong, and we know what they've done right or wrong.
Well, Kimberly, you have been so kind, and it's so informative to hear you talk about an industry that a lot of people have a lot of passion about, but it's a secretive, it's a mysterious industry, and you've pulled back the veil for so many people this morning, and I can't thank you enough for joining me and for giving us all these tremendous resources for those that are interested in becoming a future mystery shopper. Kimberly Nasif Westergren with Measure Consumer Perspectives, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, I was thinking about what Kimberly's response there, and I was thinking, you know, I don't qualify to be a mystery shopper for my own company. I need to fire myself, and I hate to have to, you know, the conversation. Listen, grab your jacket and come back to my office. We need to talk. I guess I'll have to have that conversation with Johnny. Coming up, the fusion, which is what my company does, of mystery shopping and training in the same place, under the same roof, and how that works. And you'll hear from an actual secret shopper of mine giving their testimony about a review. All that's coming up next right here in the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. It is 8:38. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Businessman, you're always on the go. You made your fortune, yet you're working hotter than ever before.
Let your hair down if you got any. Let it on down if you got any left.
This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show and Barbershop. 1350 KRNT, 840 with Johnny. Have you let your hair down at work, business owners, managers? Listen, that's a great way to get your employees to do the same. The old saying, treat your employees the way you would treat your best customer. I love that saying, and it absolutely makes sense. Treat them right, and they'll treat you right. They'll engage more frequently. Well, how do you set it all up, business owner, manager? How do you do it? You heard Kimberly talking about mystery shopping, what they look for, some of the criteria that the people who do it are smart cookies, have to be observant. How does that matter? How do you make that matter? In other words, it's one thing to send in secret shoppers, which is what I call them. It's another thing that after you're handed up that information and says, here's what they're looking at, what do you do with it at that point? How do you apply that? Well, that's what my company, the Biosphere, does. And a lot of companies do this too. Figure out where the company is at. Send in secret shoppers and figure out where the holes are and where the great things are that are happening. Figure that out first. You have to get a baseline. Figure out what a company is doing. At that point, you break down that information. You take it and you say, okay, we're doing this great. We're doing this not so great. What can we train to do better? And that goes back to, what should we be training for? Let me talk about the five pillars of customer service that we train about, which is the foundation for everything that you're going to hear about on this show. There are five, according to our training, according to my training program. They are smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. The five pillars of customer service. What is each one? Smile, simple. When you first encounter an employee, you should get a smile out of them. When you first see them and they see you, they should smile at you. Basic, human, fundamental. Let me tell you, the very first thing we saw when we was born-ited was a smiling doctor. because he was happy because he knew that within an hour of your birth, he was going to be on a golf course. There is no man on the planet or woman who is happier in that moment than that particular obstetrician or whatever the dude is or dudette who pulls you out of the womb. What's the second thing you see? Yes, your smiling mom. Yes, that's right. Oh, she is so thankful you're out of there and that you're healthy and you've been born and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's downhill kind of quickly from there, but sure, okay. We see smile after smile after smile. It's what we see. We first look in the mirror and we figure out that, hey, that's me on the other side of that mirror, not some other dude or dude. We're smiling at ourselves. Smile has impact. Smile has a direct impact on your joy, our joy. It's what we know. It's what we see. In fact, it is my contention that any company that trains its employees to smile at customers consistently can increase their revenues 20% over a 12-month period. More than any other thing, that can have an impact, an immediate impact. So smile, the first pillar of customer service. Second, the greeting. How is the greeting? Hi, how are you? Engage, just like a human being, just like any person you meet for the first time. And then that open versus closed-ended question. Open-ended, what can I help you with? I'm all about you. I'm here to serve you, and I'm going to show you that by asking you, what is it that I can help you with? Because I'm here to do that. Versus, can I help you? Which is the end of all thought. It's the train wreck. Because I'm in a store. I am a customer in a store coming up to you or you coming up to me. I'm here and I need help. I don't know your store. You do. Of course I need help. We're all help. We don't know what's going on. So yes, open-ended question. Engage, third pillar of customer service. What does engage mean? It means about 100 things. The things we teach on are share your name, employee, and get the customer's name back. Hi, my name is Johnny. What's your name? Ralph. Hey, Ralph, how are you? Pleasure. Welcome to Johnny's Electronics Emporium. Thank you for coming in. What can I help you with? What can we help you find? I know you've never been in the store. Must be very confusing to you. Well, let me take you through by the hand and show you what's going on, and let me help you find what you're looking for. Engage. Also, beyond the basic needs of the customer, what are the ancillary things that can be engaged with? In the auto industry, in the auto sales industry, this is particularly powerful. You're looking for an SUV. Now, are you married? Do you have children? Oh, you've got a couple kids. What are their names? Where do they go to school? Oh, they go to Johnston High. You know what? I've got an aunt who has kids that go there. Yeah. Yeah. Sue and Betty Mendelson. That's okay. That's yeah, they're married. Sure. Forget it. Whatever. Okay. Then you go from there. I don't know what I'm saying, but the conversation would be better than what I just demonstrated. But engagement beyond the topical, superficial stuff. Go deeper. Get to know them. It's a date. It is a date. Just like any date, a retail date is about, I want to know about you. I want to get into your world. I'm going to connect with you. It's all about you, baby. Fourth pillar, the thank you. The thank you with a handshake. Man, woman, doesn't matter, child, everybody gets a handshake, a sign of respect. And the name is shared and the name is said again. And when you learn someone's name and you're an employee, you use it. And you use their first name because you got their first name and you've given your first name. And you knock down all those walls that are always between people who don't know each other, who need to get to know each other real quick. Last, follow-up. Information from the person. And people will tell me, yeah, nobody's going to give me their follow-up information. Don't even know them. They're not going to tell me their that's intrusive. To ask for their email, to ask for their Facebook handle, their Twitter handle. I won't do the phone number, none of that. That's intruding. Of course it's intruding, unless you've gotten to know them. Of course it feels like an intrusion. When we are being asked that from someone who has not taken the time to get to know who we are and what we're about. Of course it feels that way. It is an intrusion. That's why steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 are so uber critical in the process of customer service. That's what gets you to number 5. That's what gets you the information. And then what you do with it is an agreed upon thing between the employee and the customer. Listen, I'm going to send you some stuff. Can I send you a coupon? Can I send you alerts when there's something special going on in the store for our email people only, part of our email club? Can I send that? Can I just give you a shout out? Say, hey, how's the baby? How's the kids going to Johnston High? Can I do that? Sure. Here you go. Here's the information. Awesome. There you are. I'm going to play for you audio from a secret shopper that I engaged for a client of mine. This is an early trip into the store. This is the initial secret shopping when we're trying to establish what that particular business is doing. We want to see where they're at. We don't know at that point. The only way to really know is to send in secret shoppers. This is, I wouldn't say this is low tech. This is practically no tech. I have a handheld digital recorder I'm going to play for you into the microphone. So that's why it sounds a little strange. But this is me Q&A-ing a secret shopper about a business. And this is how the initial Q&A normally goes.
Okay, just tell me about your experience right from the moment you went in the door.
I went in the door. There were only two people sitting there, George and the guy to his right, to my left. The guy to George's left acknowledged me. George was on the phone, said, hello, how are you? We'll be with you in a minute because he was helping another customer. And then George got off the phone, asked if I've been helped. I said no, walked up to the counter. It was very neat. It didn't have any funny smells in there like you sometimes find with auto places. Asked me what the problem was. I explained that my daughter had felt it.
And let's stop a minute. And what did he say exactly? Do you remember what was his?
He said, have you been helped? Was the first thing he said to me after the other guy had said, I'll be right with you. And I said, no, I haven't. And he's like, well, come on over. And he said, what's the problem? Or what can I help? He said, what can I help you with? I said, well, I got a little problem. He goes, what's the problem? I said, well, my daughter thought she felt a weird shimmy or a rattle in the car, and I didn't want to take any chances because, you know, I didn't want to take any chances. So I thought I'd bring the car in, and hopefully you guys could do something about that. And he's like, okay, well, when next week would you like to leave it? And I said, there's nothing you can do today. There's no way because you think it's going to be okay till next week. I'm a little worried about it. Oh, it'll be fine. It should be fine. Are you going to need a shuttle service? And I was like, well, no, I'll have my husband come. So we've got it set up for next Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the morning for me to take my car in and leave it with them. And they would check it out. And then he had me fill out some paperwork. Never did ask me my name. It was on that sheet. Never, once he got the sheet back, never referred to me by name. Just said, all right, we'll see you next Tuesday. And the other guy, not the one who was helping me, handed me this maintain your car with us, following definitions of common noises, asked me to fill this out before coming back in. That would be a great help to them and really be able to hone them in so they wouldn't be wasting their time. He didn't say that, but that was kind of the impression I got. So that was nice, but that was pretty much it. And I said, thank you very much. See you next week. And they said, bye. And I walked out.
Okay. All right. We'll stop that. We'll stop the testimony there. So, initial experience by a secret shopper at a store that's a client early on in the process, a client of mine. My company not only secret shops companies, but also then does training on the five pillars of customer service. Obviously, this particular secret shopper did not get many of the pillars of customer service that we train upon. This was early on in the process. I will promise you that 2 months later, weekly training, actually it's been 3 months now, this has changed dramatically. And next week, I will play, because we don't have time, I'm going to play testimony from a more recent secret shopper, that same company, and show you the dramatic difference that training can do for a company. You heard her talking about, I wasn't really engaged. I didn't really fire me up. And there's two parts to us, I think, that when we go in any place and shop, particularly secret shoppers, there's two things going on. There's a left brain and a right brain. There's a left brain part looking for details. Did the person smile? Did they engage? Greet? Thank? Follow up? Those are detail-driven things that all have emotions connected to them. There's the left brain stuff, all right? Analytical part of our brain. Then there's the right brain. Creative. Hate. Love. Joy. Rapture. Disgust. Where the creative, artistic part of us exists. How did you feel about your experience? And so from secret shoppers, we try to get a combination of those two parts of the brain. Left brain things we're looking for, right brain things, how did you feel about it? And the questions that we would normally ask over a period of time was after training, after significant training, were you greeted as you entered? Did salespeople smile at you? Did they ask an open-ended question? Did they seek your name and share their own? Did they ask you questions, probe you about your issue? Did they seem interested in your problem and in solving it? Even as they explained the solutions, did they continue to ask questions? It's a sign of a good listener. Did they make you feel as if they would do whatever it took to solve your problem in a timely fashion? Did they thank you, use your name, shake your hand, get follow-up information? Did they follow up? What's your overall impression of your experience, and what is something they can do to do a better job of serving you the next time you go in? Those are the questions that are posed to our secret shoppers who go in next time after training has been done, and hopefully successfully, and we do have a successful track record. You can look it up. You can call me. You can email me. I'll tell you all about it at the Unsecret Shopper blog. You can Google search the Unsecret Shopper blog and look at Best Buy's review from Thursday if you'd like. It is 8:54 now on the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT. A few closing thoughts coming your way next. Are you smiling today at the Unsecret Shopper radio show? Smile. I certainly hope so. And it's raining, and it can be a little more difficult, a challenge to our right brain, creative, fun-loving poison that we is. But listen, you know, the Lord made a promise. I'm only going to let it rain. It really won't go on 40 days. All right, it'll be somewhere shy of that. The rainbow promises that, we know it. And, of course, this rain actually is going to end in a much shorter duration of time than that. It looks like maybe later on this morning as showers move through, and then maybe some sunshine this afternoon in 79 tomorrow. And totally sunny. That's an absolute guarantee. You heard it here first from John McLaughlin from TV8. As you are heading on about and shopping this morning, if you happen to go into Best Buy, any Best Buy or any electronic store or any store for that matter, think about how much you know and how much you don't know about the products you're about ready to purchase, and how much you not knowing about them, or if you have a problem you're trying to get solved, you have a service issue, particularly like a laptop or a computer, how unnerving that is, how unsettling that can be. And of course, we're in that place, whether it's our car, our computer, our dog, taking our dog to the vet. That's unnerving for us because we're in a place of vulnerability. We don't like feeling that way. And so it is imperative, it's an imperative, it is extremely important that the people who we pay and who have been entrusted to help us make us feel at ease, make us feel like they're going to take care of us. We deserve that. We've earned it. We were born. That sort of gets us into a club, I think, of, hey, you know, you deserve good service. And so when you're out and about today, whatever you are shopping or being served or whatever it is, think about if the person on the other end of the counter is serving you. Are they smiling at you? Are they grinning? Do they seem happy to see you? Do they seem happy that you're in their store spending money which pays their salary? Are they engaging you? Are they asking you your name and giving you theirs? And do they shake your hand? Man, it's old school. No one's going to die from the germs that you have on your hands from shaking hands. It's not going to happen. In fact, it could maybe be a little healthier, maybe. We did more handshaking. Do they ask your name? Do they use your name throughout the conversation? They should. Your first name. It's the word you hear more and I hear more than any other word that we've ever heard in our entire lives. That's how important it is to us. It should be of high value to us. We should hear it. Do they engage? Do they ask you questions about not only your specific problem, but, for example, you take a computer in. Do they ask you, well, what do you use your computer for? And a good computer repair place should anyway, because of a left brain issue, because if you use it for videos, that's one thing. Music is another. Storing stuff or writing, that's another thing, of course. But just to ask you, because it's a nice thing to ask, what do you use your computer for? I'm a business owner. I use my laptop. Oh, that's great. What's your business? Well, I sell forks. Oh, wow. What's the name of the company? Ralph's Fork Emporium. No kidding. My Aunt Edna has an entire collector's edition fork set you guys put out about 10 years ago, and it's sitting upon her mantle along with a lot of other things that, you know, are fantastic and very interesting. Wow. No kidding. Now, you're at Edna. I don't know if I use that in the analogy. Okay, Edna. Did she go to Punxsutawney Phil High School? Yes, yes. Is she kind of tall with big curly hair? No, she's short, brunette, really cut short. Oh, okay. Well, then it's probably not her. Okay, well, then forget it. But, I mean, you understand where the conversation's going here. You know, we're human beings. It's all we're all about. We're all about being engaged. And so I hope you are engaged on that level and thanked and greeted. In Turkey, they kiss everybody. I hope you're kissed today properly. Have a great day shopping and a great weekend.